This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia. And we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Join the full throng, wake harp and psalter and song, sound forth in glad and oration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, who as on wings of an eagle uplifteth, sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how the desires all have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who hath fearfully, wondrously made thee, and hath vouchsafed, and when heedlessly falling hath saved thee. What need or grief ever hath failed of relief? Rings of His mercy did shake thee. Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of His mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for they we adore Him.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, puts on display something that is simple but powerful, and that is the power of a promise. We'll start with something obvious. We live in an age in which promises mean very little, and in some cases, promises mean absolutely nothing. This reminds us that a promise, an oath, is only as good, it is only as powerful as the person who is making it. So when we reflect on the reading this morning, we ask the question, who are the powerful people, the key players in this passage? Well, I'll start by saying that it's not the holy angel. Angels are indeed powerful, but they are just messengers. He does nothing but speak to the women, although he does terrify them, which is something holy angels do really well every time they appear in Scripture. So this promise's power does not come from an angel. Now here's another obvious thing to say. The powerful people in this reading are not the women who are so prominent, not the apostles and the others with them on that first Easter. What the reading shows us, in fact, is the weakness, the impotence, the complete inability and helplessness of the women and the men who were there. We will not point fingers or mock them or think less of them, because none of us here today would have likely been any different if we were to have been there. Luke writes the women rested on the Sabbath, which is what they normally would do. They thought that life was still going to go on the way it had before. In their minds, nothing had changed since Friday afternoon when evil killed their teacher and master. And so they came out of love to do their duty for the corpse of Jesus. It's brave and it's loving, but it's completely and utterly misguided and wrong. The angel's words to them shows how unaware and helpless and confused they were. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? They're in a place surrounded with tombs, and we all know, just as they did, how it works when people die by crucifixion. I attended a lecture one time by a medical expert, a doctor, who's an expert in the history of crucifixion, and it's really worth considering what our Lord had to endure. Governments, at least in my opinion, are not particularly good at too many things. But for a nation to exist, they have to be good at killing people. Otherwise, they're not a government. Otherwise, foreign tyrants, terrorists, brutal criminals will destabilize a nation. And the Romans were known internationally to be very good at killing. What sort of people do you find in tombs? Well, you find dead people. They are absolutely convinced Jesus is dead. Do these loving, confused women have anything to do with making an Easter promise? And the answer is, not at all. The apostles come off even worse. The women tell them about the empty tomb, and these women are godly, credible women, and there's a number of them, about what the angel told them and about the promise. But it does no good. Luke writes the women's testimony seemed to be an idle tale. Except for Peter. Peter runs to the tomb, and the distance was not that far, somewhere between half a mile to a full mile. And he sees there is no corpse there. But all he can do is marvel. What happened to the body of our Lord? He does not get it, not yet. This Easter story reminds us once again that no one in the history of the world has ever been saved because of their own efforts. They will not be saved by their own sincerity. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. If you're sincerely wrong, you're wrong. Or by their own anything. The powerful promise was there, but the women and the men had nothing to do with providing the power. The power comes from the one who made the promise. And that is why the angel told the women, he said, remember. And we talked about this previously in an earlier sermon. Remember what you have forgotten, what you did not believe. Remember that he told you while he was still in Galilee that these things, not that they might happen, they must happen. Jesus told you he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, he would die on the cross, and on the third day he would rise, never to die again. The angel said, Jesus said to you, it must happen. It was the Father's plan, and the Son of God promised it. And it happened because, as we've been reflecting the season of Lent from the Gospel of Luke, Satan, Pilate, the Jewish mob, the authorities, everyone else meant this for evil. But God took it, and God meant it for good. Jesus, who preached good news and healed crippled hands, was betrayed into the power of sinful men, even though he was 100% innocent of any crime. And so they crucified him. The evil of injustice and the mockery and blasphemy came against the innocent Son of God, and it had to happen. He is one of a kind in his own category. And that's the reason it annoys me to hear people compare Jesus with the founders of other so-called great religions. Jesus could be compared with no one. He's one of a kind. He is pure. He is holy. He is perfect. He is innocent. He is righteous. But God's plan was for him to be with us in our place, to die what he did not deserve, to die and take the evil of the world upon himself, so that that evil would not come on judgment day against you and against me. So that you and our many sins would not cling to us. Your sins would not be fastened to you. No, God's plan from the beginning is that evil would be fastened to Jesus when he was fastened by nails to the cross. And Jesus had to rise because Jesus came here with the mission, John said, to bring light into darkness and to drive back the power of evil. And this unexpected saving promise meant that God would take this tremendous evil and use it for good. And so, death was undone. The tomb was open. No body was there. This is the promise, and it happened because of the one who made it. Easter is not about the women. I've heard sermons focusing almost exclusively on the women. I've heard sermons focusing almost exclusively on the apostles. It's not about them. It's not about you or me. It's about the one who made a promise and who kept it. That Easter promise, the power of it, is offered to you. And the readings show the beginnings of this, especially in the lives of Mary Magdalene and the other women. Friends, the power of the Easter promise transforms lives. It may seem strange to say this, but the first life that was transformed by the promise is the life of our Lord Jesus himself. He transformed his own life by a promise. When he came to us so long ago at Christmas, he came in a certain way. It was God's plan from eternity. It was the willing choice of God's Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus came in a certain way. The King of heaven and earth came lowly. He made himself vulnerable. And though he had tremendous power, you can just ask the people he healed. There are extra biblical sources which tell us that Jesus virtually eradicated disease across Palestine wherever he went. He moved toward the time when he would set aside his divine power in order to be numbered with transgressors or sinners. In a mystery that we cannot fully understand, Jesus became weak and vulnerable. He was mortal, and they killed him. And that day, evil seemed to have the last word. But the power of the promise that Jesus himself has made transformed him, and the Father raised his Son from the dead. He is still Jesus, still the God-man that he always was, but now his lowliness and his weakness is gone. Not his humility, but his lowliness and his weakness. You see, Jesus is no longer mortal, meaning he cannot die again. He lives forever. This was the plan, and this was the promise, and the promise came true. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father's power, and he rules and he reigns in the power of the Easter promise. He's powerful to save sinners whose hands were so willing to crucify him. That is the power of the promise of an empty tomb. We considered how the women had their lives turned upside down by the crucifixion of their Lord. But you can see the power of the Easter promise beginning to turn the women around, to turn their lives right side up. You see, they come thinking that they have work to do for the dead Jesus. But the angel says, "You're too late. The work is done. Remember the promise he made." And Luke simply says they remembered his words. This does not mean that their brains simply recalled what Jesus said. It means they remembered. They realized. They believed. Their plans have vanished, and they literally turn around and go the other direction. Luke writes, they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. What were these women saying to each other on the mile or so back from the tomb? I wish I knew. Luke only says they were changed. They believed. They returned and spoke to the 11 and to the rest. Our reading for today stops at verse 12. But if we kept reading, we will see the promise begins to transform them as well. But stopping here gives us a chance to remember something about promises that are filled with power, and really about promises of any kind. A promise, any promise, is an invitation to trust, to have faith, to extend an open hand saying, I trust you. The promise says, you have nothing, let me give you everything. But not everyone trusts the promise. Indeed, most people today in the world would not self-identify as Christians. And of those, it would be a smaller percentage that had a credible profession of actually having a life that represents it. The women began to trust right away. But it took some time on that first Easter before the apostles were transformed. Why did it take them so long? Why were they so blind? Why do some people believe and others don't? The simple answer is, I don't know, and no one else does either. All we can do in this world is to remember and to speak the promise and to trust in God's power to transform people. That power is being declared to you today. It is available for you this morning because the promise remains the same. All of the evil committed all throughout human history, Jesus took it and he overcame it. Jesus died faithfully, carrying out God's plan to take that evil and to use it for your good. Rising from the dead, Jesus broke the power of death and the power that sin has to accuse your conscience and to separate you from God. Jesus lives, and he has the power, the authority, to forgive, to restore, to preserve. It's true for Mary Magdalene, it's true for Peter, it's true for me, and it's true for you. Perhaps you're thinking the promise may apply to other people, but it's not for me. Well, I'm here to tell you, based on the authority of God's word, the promise is for everyone here. And right here and now, I offer you the promise, and I invite you to believe it. The promise turned these women around, literally and spiritually. Once again, you and I can turn from our plans, thinking our lives are our own. That we really don't need Jesus that much in life. That we know what is best for our life, not Jesus. We know what's best for our world. Whatever form it takes, God calls for you to turn from your pride, your unbelief, your despair, and to be forgiven. He wants to restore us and to change us. Well, what will happen if we do that? Well, some things we know for sure. We know that God will forgive you all of your sins for Jesus' sake, for the Lord died and rose. God said, as far as the east is from the west is how far he removes your sin from you. And God promises he will welcome you, no matter what your past is, no matter what you have done. Peter fell as far away as a person could fall, even to the point of repeatedly lying and denying Jesus. But Jesus turned him again and claimed him and embraced him and welcomed him. God does the same thing for us through the power of the Easter promise. Well, what else will happen in our lives because of Easter? Well, to be honest, I don't know. You see, when it comes to Easter, all bets are off. If God can take all of the evil in the world and use it for good. Who knows what he's going to do with me or with you? I don't know what opportunities or blessings God has in store for you. But I do know this. Jesus lives and he is at work. His working will never stop. He will be at work all the way until the day of the final transformation, the day of his return in glory. By his almighty power, he has promised to raise all believers from the dead. And he will give to all who trust in him a pure and a beautiful and a strong eternal life, a life that will never end. Life forever with God, with one another, sinless, in a renewed world, the new heaven and the new earth. That is the power of the Easter promise, and it echoes into eternity. The world, their own sinful nature, and Satan meant it all for evil. But because God made the promise, he took all of that evil, pain, and suffering. And for you, he has brought good, healing, and everlasting life to everyone who believes. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Greg Cumbie. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church of Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.